Blog Talk Radio.
WAMRDB. It's the meeting in the ladies' room with the one and only jazz legendaire, Miss Debbie Duncan, in the house this evening in the room. Debbie, how you doing tonight?
I'm all right. How you doing?
I'm doing good. I'm doing good. Thank you for coming on to the show.
Glad I could do it.
I'm so honored to have you on the show this evening. Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Okay. So I'm so honored to have you on the show this evening. Oh, good. And I have the producer on the line. She's going to be quiet for a second, but she'll come. You'll hear her throughout the show. And that's Karima Ali on the show this evening. That's the producer.
I'm so sorry. Listen, I got to blame Ms. Duncan. I was sitting there listening to Black Years and was just, I mean, I had a little interest in, and I looked up. I said, oh, what? And I'm looking, I'm listening to Black Ears. I said, am I supposed to be doing something? I looked up, I see the thing. I said, oh, my bad. And so I was listening to Black Ears, and it was like, I'm like, where has she been all my life? This is some kind of sexy black woman. Stuff right here. So I know what I was, you know what, you know I'm telling the truth, Ms. Duncan, right? Because you got to know that I was listening to Black Ears, because Black Ears, all right, I love it. It was a great song. I was just getting, I'm so sorry, y'all. That's all I'm going to say. Welcome to the show. Okay, guys. I appreciate it. I'm going to keep all it. All right, I'm going to go back to listen to Black Ears. Go ahead. I'll be back now.
Well, you can't go anywhere. You know that, Karima. We got to spice up the show. I told Debbie, I said, this is an impromptu show. We just kick back. We have a good time. You know, we're going to talk about what Ms. Duncan is doing here in the Twin Cities and basically having her music played down there in Atlanta, Georgia. Well, actually, WAMRDB, we're all over. So we're all over the world. So your music will be played all over the world. We're a ladies' station, a women-only station. And so I think that I'm just so honored to have you on this evening.
Well, I'm glad I can do it. Glad.
And you can do it. I can do it.
I'm going to do my darndest.
I see you doing it. I was sitting there. Then you had, you mixing it up with everybody on there. You got some of our Caucasian brothers and sisters sitting there. I said, look at them. Oh my goodness, you said, Pat the house, find the camera, and be out there, just blow, just into the jam. I was into it, you know I'm telling the truth, because you know I'm talking about what I'm talking about. So I'm just trying to get in the, you know, so then Monica called tonight and be like, you know what, you know what, I'm gonna need you to get on your job a little bit better. I've been getting people on here, and you just be doing stuff, and I'm like, okay, I'm sorry, but I'm serious, I'm trying to get Black Ears down so I can go ahead and play it. So if y'all don't need
me for a minute, that's a great song. Some little instrumental things, it is too.
I mean, I didn't want to go get the glass of wine and be like I was last week because the mic said I missed some things. So, I mean, but you can't do nothing but some wine, light some candles, and we gonna have these folks turned up. I ain't talking about turned up. It's just calm. This is some grown folks. I'm serious. This is how you're going to get your man, have him dress up in his Sunday best suit. No, he ain't got the one because he ain't trying to go all the time. And you sit him up in his jazz club with you coming in, and then have him sit down and be like chilling, looking around, talking about what all it's about. And then everybody being grown up in there listening to Black Years. Come on with me. I'm so sorry. We got to get the grown up. They missing it. I think, okay, y'all laughing. They're not doing this in Atlanta. They're not doing this down here. They are traumatized with this music. Only jazz station we got is coming out of Clark, Atlanta. You know, Clark, Atlanta got the jazz station. I think it's somebody else tried to pick it up a little bit. We play it in the late night, like 12 o'clock or whatever. But this is the whole thing, you know. And then we only play women music. That's it. We don't have, you know, we have one man that we play his music. That's my brother. He's cool with his stuff. He kind of like a jazz kind of thing, whatever. Kind of whatever, whoop the whoop, whatever. But yeah.
Spoken word. Yeah.
Let me go, y'all. I'll be back. Thank you, Ms. Duncan.
All right.
I told you Karima is crazy, but she's a wonderful person, beautiful person. So that's why I said this show is impromptu, and we're just having a great time. And once again, listeners, I have Debbie Duncan, that's on WAMRDB, meeting in the ladies' room, and she's in the room with us this evening. Now, Ms. Duncan is a jazz legend is what I call you. You know, you're a musical, this dynamic vocalist, writer. You do a lot of stuff in the community. And I'm going to start off this evening, first of all, just explain, you know, when you got started, what made you pick jazz, how old were you when you first started? Just tell the people how it all came about.
Well, I'd like to blame all this on my mom and dad. It's all their fault. Seriously, they introduced me to the music. I think my dad is like truly a jazz aficionado. I mean, my father knows his jazz. He might know his jazz better than some jazz musicians. So he's really on top of that. And that's what I was raised listening to. And my mother was listening to it too, because if you, let me tell my age, but that was kind of like the popular music of the time, because, you know, rock and roll and I'm from Detroit, and Motown had just started coming in. So, I mean, that's what I was raised with, and so that's always been my first love. Music is my love, but jazz is my first love, and then I start filtering in everything else that's out there. That's how I do that.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah,
I've been singing since I was 3.
Okay.
That's a long time. Yeah. A really long time. I started singing professionally when I was 18. Yeah. So everything else was the interesting thing. I've always known I was going to sing. I mean, I told my parents when I was very young what I was going to do, and they said, "Oh, isn't that sweet?" I said, "I'm serious. You all listen. I want you to know, up until I was maybe 25. 28, somewhere around there, I think that's when they took me seriously. Outside of that, they kept saying, "Well, that's nice. Now, when are you going to get a real job?" Wait a minute. This is a real job. I think that they really came out to see me. When they came out to see me and saw me on stage with folks, I think that's when they really decided that there might be a little bit more going on there. And Mom always knew I could sing because she let me start studying voice at 14. So, I mean, I have it, the serious background in it, and I don't know why they would expect me to do anything else. But, you know, it's what I do, what I love doing, and I'm still learning. Because it's, you know, music, whatever type you're doing, is infinite. And so there's always going to be something to learn. So I'm still learning, especially jazz.
And I'm glad you said that, because I just said that a couple weeks ago. You know, on one of the shows with Cynthia Johnson, I'm telling her, you know what? Yeah. And it's never ending. It's, you know, some people just think, oh, okay, well, they just sing and that's how it's going to be. No, I had to go through some corrective criticism a few weeks ago. And, you know, hey, I got to get on it, what they said. I can't get banned. I mean, they critique me, and there's a lot of things that I still have to learn, and I've been doing this since I was 5 years old. So I'm just so glad that you said that. You're never too old to learn, and it's just different styles of music and different genres, and, you know, so you're never too old to learn. That's one good thing.
And you don't want to ever get to that place, because then you stagnate yourself, and, you know, you don't want to do that. You do this music thing because you love it, and anything that you love, there's always something more you can learn about it, you know, to open you up to go into different places. So I like playing with the cats that have been out here a while. And then I go, ooh, I didn't even know I had that going on in my brain. Hold on. So I really like working with people that are somebody that I'm working to get to that place, because it makes me dig deep, you know. And that's fun.
Yeah.
To me, that's fun.
Yeah.
You know, I understand when athletes are talking about they're in the zone. I tell vocalists and I tell musicians, if you ever get into the zone on stage, every time you get on stage, you'll be working to get back to that place.
Because
it's wonderful. I mean, I'm just like, I'll see you all when I come back. I'm finna go away for a while. I'll see you when I come back. That's it. And I look forward to that. That's the coolness about what we do. Definitely.
Yeah. I was reading here too that you like the popular music that by writers like Carole King. I like Carole King too. And
when I was in college, well, see, I also loved folk music. When I was around different folks, that they could handle the music they could handle, because I like music, period. That's what we would talk about. But I loved folk music. I actually, one of my first gigs was a folk gig. So, yeah, I loved it. And I loved Carole King.
Yes.
I did.
She's,
you know, she was a phenomenal writer.
She was wonderful.
And then her music just lent itself to you being able to do what you want to do with it. So, you know, and to me, that's a great writer, that, you know, there's all sorts of avenues that you can take the music that you're doing, that they wrote, which is cool.
Yeah. I see you recorded backup vocals for Mitch Ryder and Bob Seger. I didn't know that.
Oh, that's my Detroit days, girl. I'm from Detroit. That's where they were at. Yes, we did some back stories behind that. Yes, we did do that when I was in Detroit.
Yeah, how old were you when you did that?
Oh, I was in my 20s. I was in my early 20s, somewhere around. Because I left Detroit when I was 23 or 24. So somewhere between 20 and 23. Is when I did the background vocals for both of them. Amazingly so, it was always all kind of around the same time. That's when I was doing a bit more studio work. It was one of the cool things about, you know, I did backgrounds for a whole lot of folks in studio.
Yeah.
Yeah, I also did that in L.A. I did backgrounds. Motown was putting Clarence. What's Clarence's last name? I can't think of his name. Anyways, he was redoing the Motown book when I was in California, and I did tons of backgrounds for that. So, you know,
you were out in California as well. I remember I was out in California. I had did a show at Marla Gibbs Club.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I had a wonderful time out there. It was Ronaldo Ray was in the house, and I got up there and sung, and she was just – I just had a wonderful time. And
those cats were wild.
Yeah.
Yes, they were wild. I was out there when all of them were gone. Lord, there go telling my age again. They were kind of in their early stages. I used to see them in Marla's Club, and there was another club that was on the – that's the one I know I'm getting old because I can't think of the name of this club, but everybody and their mama was in there. Seriously, that and Marla's Club. As a matter of fact, I met Carmen McRae in Marla's Club. She was in there singing.
Oh, wow, okay.
Yeah, it was just cool. It was really cool. especially the comedians. I would not let Ronaldo know that I was in his audience, because he would like pick on me. You know,
he would pick on you.
Oh, I'm like, going, wait a minute, don't make me part of this show.
Right.
Like, what? No, 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 no. All those cats kind of were getting started about the same time. So, and they all kind of hit at about the same time, because Red Fox had his show and he had them all coming on there, you know, one by one. So it was really cool. Yep. It was a good time to be there.
So you was in California for a while, and then you moved to Minneapolis. Now, what brought you here to the cold Minnesota weather here in Minneapolis?
And it was, too. I came here to work at Rupert's, actually, when Rupert's first opened. Rupert's opened in 1984, and that's when I came here, and that's why I came here. And I was only supposed to be here for, it's like 4 months, something like that. I came here for 4 months. Matter of fact, Geraldine and Javita Steele had been there, but they had left to go on the road with the Gospel Colonists. And I was and I was supposed to do it until they came back. They never came back to Rupert's, and I ended up staying because they made me an offer I couldn't refuse. And I just said, man, you know, I've been gone, it would have been 4 months, and going back to L.A., I'm not sure I want to go back and almost start over trying to get back what I had worked to get to while I was there. So it was more conducive for it, and I don't think things would, well, I don't know. I had hooked up with some pretty decent people in L.A. I just think I was supposed to be here, but I had never experienced a winter like the first winter I experienced here. I said, I don't know how y'all do it. Oh,
but
my God.
What was the worst winter? Now, not this past winter, because that was, well, it's been a little bit tedious here. We're talking about the Twin Cities, Atlanta, in case you're, and all our listeners are listening. But what winter and what year?
I came 84. That's when they also had one of those record snowfalls. And this is how bad. I was here for like 2 months, and folks kept saying, come on, go to this party and go over here and come on. Go. I went, no, 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 not going to anybody's parties, not fixing to do that. No, no, no. Well, finally, one night I decided, well, maybe I will go to this one. Went to that one, ended up being there 3 days because got snowed in.
No.
Yeah. I said, it's the first and the last time when I do get home. I went, what? I couldn't even. You just had to go to the party, didn't you, Debbie? You just had to go to the party. 3 days. 3 days I was stuck at this woman's house out in Timbuktu. I said, oh, Lord Jesus, Lord Jesus. And then they had one of those cold snaps. You know how we get one of those cold snaps that might last about a week, and it's like ridiculously below zero. This is my first year. This is what I'm experiencing here in the Twin Cities. Am I?
So you were ready to go.
Girl, who? Guy goes, oh, Deb, you know, you're going to, it's because we were in one of those cold snaps. He goes, Deb, you're going to go outside, and if you're going to say, well, it's pretty nice out here. And he goes, I guarantee you it'll be zero or somewhere close to that. I said, I do not think so. Oh, no. I am not feeling that at all. Didn't I do it? That week, it had been like, geez, we weren't even talking windshield. It was like 10 and 12 below zero. This was like the temperature. Forget about the windshield.
Right. That's funny.
I walked out there one day, and I went, oh, man, it's kind of nice out here. It's not too bad. And he had to hear me because he goes, let's go look at the thermometer. And it was zero. It was zero outside. Did you hear what I'm saying? I said, Lord, where have they brought me? Where have they brought me?
Hey, Karima always talk about us up here. She's like, I don't know. It's not supposed to be no black folks in Minnesota.
So you already know I was coming on back to the mic. Okay, here we go. I wasn't going to say nothing, I was trying to be nice. I was trying to not get it through. That, look, okay, what did she say? Look, she
you
was.
Heard,
she didn't say what she was experiencing.
Zero.
No, she didn't say what she was experiencing. She said what she was experiencing. She didn't say. She said I was scared to death. How do you have a 1 week snap? You know, a snap in football is just one time, like bam. But
oh no, that was the
that,
first
no,
one.
We can't.
That's the first one. We had another one that winter. But I was prepared for that
well,
one.
This,
I wasn't prepared for this other one.
Well,
I just, I couldn't get, look, my car wouldn't even unlock one of those days while we had the lock froze. I said, what kind of,
ungodly. It's
I'm
ungodly.
Telling you.
This is why y'all got to play that jazz up in there. I can tell when y'all was snowed in. I'm looking at the videos right now. You can tell when you were snowed in. You looking around and everybody's like, I can't believe this. We might as well go ahead and sing. So because of that, let me do this for y'all. Let me let y'all listen to this real quick. But Monica, when can we play some music, one of her songs?
We're gonna be playing that in the next few minutes.
Okay.
Okay.
You just told us that if you're ready to play the song now, but we gotta talk a little bit more about what Ms. Duncan is doing before we play the song, and then you can introduce the song. Because I'm cracking up right now what she's saying about the wintertime.
Well, I'm just saying. I was in a daze. That's why we started the show like 30 seconds late. So when you fix it up for Mama and stuff, I was on that 30 seconds late, Mama. But Miss Duncan made me do it. Because, see, that black ear is the bomb. I'm serious. And then she got another one that she got, What a Difference a Day Make. All right.
Mm-hmm. I told you, it's phenomenal. Look at that.
I can't believe when. Let me tell you something, Ms. Duncan. When Demonte got down here, it was October. She came to Atlanta in October. I don't know if you know anything about Atlanta. And she looked like she looked weird to everybody because she was like a polar bear, you know, coming up to the south. So she like, I gotta get some clothes. I was like, yeah, because people took our shorts on in October. You know, we don't do that.
Oh,
jeez.
Don't nobody know nothing about no shorts in October, except you all. No.
Right.
No.
I went
Debbie,
to school
I got
in Grand Rapids.
Head wrap on. You went to school in Grand Rapids, Karima.
Well, you know.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Atlanta don't know nothing about no winter. I mean, they get about two seconds of snow on the ground, and the world closes up.
It
sure seriously,
does.
You better
it's
go get something from the stores because they go in there and clean the stores out, and they go in and they do not come out.
We be in a state
that,
cause of
I got stuck at somebody's house in Atlanta too.
Oh, you got stuck at somebody's house in Atlanta?
Oh, yeah, got stuck at some. You think I'd learn, but no.
Mm-mm.
Sure, I got stuck like 2 days at somebody's house because it snowed while I was in Atlanta and the girl couldn't get out the driveway.
Have you ever recorded anything in Atlanta? Any artists?
No, I haven't, but I've played in Atlanta. I helped open, once again, there was a Rupert's in Atlanta, and I came down. I was there for about 3 months getting the singers ready for the club to open. And then there's a ship. I don't know if that's still there. I can't think of what is that ship? It was like down in the...
Savannah.
Wait. No, it was in Atlanta. There's like two of them. One is... Downtown.
Are you saying a ship in Atlanta?
Yeah.
A ship.
You play,
a big boat.
I don't know if it's there anymore. One of them, we would go down. Do you all still have the, what is it, underground stuff you all do in Atlanta?
Yeah, the underground is still there, but it's habitated by a bunch of our cousins now.
It's by who?
Pookie, Junebug. I said it's inhabited by a bunch of our cousins, Pookie and them, Junebug, Aniqua, them. Go ahead. knocked her right on the head.
Well, I was down there playing on some ship that was there.
Oh, okay.
And there was a club
okay.
there. This lets you know how long ago it's been since I've been there. There was a club called All That Jazz. And we went there. I think I had sat in and sang with somebody there. I know I sang at the ship. I wish I could think of the name of it. But it was underground, I know. Because I came back and did a week there. And,
okay, the club was called The Ship, right? Because, you know, ain't no...
No, I don't know what the
rent.
Name... No, the club wasn't called The Ship.
Oh.
It was in a ship.
Oh, uh-oh.
Was it
oh, yeah, she was
boat.
Drunk. Oh, she was drunk the whole time. ain't no ship in Atlanta. I'm trying to tell you. It
might have
been in the 70s. Maybe that's
where Karima...
Well,
I'm just saying, it could have been the ship they had us on that they snuck us in here on, told us to get on that ship in Africa, that we was going to take this little journey, and they flooded their asses right up to the Savannah River. And here we is, still, 400 years later. Oh, I'm sorry.
I wish I could think the name
of it. If I got one here somewhere, well, don't worry about it.
I wish I could think
of
the name of that.
I know somebody know everything. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we're going
to
have to
ask them about it, because there were two of them. One was on...
We got
a place called... Did you think of what it was called?
It's called... We have... our Cat Cafe is where all the jazz people, they sit down and they throw it on in there. You know what I mean? They sit down and just... They have an open... Anybody comes right up on the stage and just get it.
They have jam sessions
Cat
going
Cafe.
On there.
Yeah.
That wasn't there when I was there, but it's been a long time since I've been in Atlanta, literally. It was, I believe it was before 2000. It was before 2000. So it was a long time ago.
Okay, did we have a black mayor at that time? you know, my name came in the
I'm not sure, truth be told.
Yeah, it was in the... Yeah, it was in. Okay. Yeah, it was a little, that's what we do down here. But I was just curious about, you know, the bands, the different bands that I'm looking at, especially when you're being Black Ian. Is that a house band? Is that people that you call in Plainwood? Well, how does that work for people that want to know? You know, they might be able to maybe. let me get this in. You know, I had to clear my throat because D already know what's coming up. I'm an inspiring individual, right? And so all these singers that Demonica can know, I'm always trying to get a place on the stage. So I do backup singing and stuff. So. You know, I'm trying to try out for, you know, as many of her friends as possible. I do for everybody. So
ain't nothing wrong with it,
but
I don't
want WNRDB. Oh,
my
God. Oh, here we go.
Right.
Oh, man. Okay. This is next level. I'm going to put the phone back on mute now.
Hold on, y'all. That's our vice president, my brother Mario. Mario, go ahead.
Please, Karima, please.
What?
Please.
No, okay.
Please don't sing
Ms.
right
Duncan,
now.
Mr. Coleman, Mario Coleman on the line.
Hey, Mario.
Hello. How y'all doing? I've been listening in. I actually been to some of your old stomping grounds. I was out in L.A. like around about. Actually from 83 to 2005. So I remember Marla's Memory Lane and all of that, Club Hobart and all of that. But they got a tremendous history. But I guess Karima wants to sing, so let's go ahead and get that over with. So back to the show.
Oh my goodness. Yes, she wants to audition for the background. But listen, Karima, see, Debbie also does performance workshops as well as an instructor, vocal coach right there. I mean, she's the baddest that's out here.
Well, I
so
try.
You can audition for it.
Yes, you are. You gonna sing?
I was gonna say she's quiet now. She's not gonna sing anything on here.
She's
quiet.
She's joking. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Because I was gonna say I can't think of anything that I've done with the exception of working at Rupert's. Not since whenever I'm doing jazz, I haven't had any background singers. So, you know, it would be news. It'd be interesting.
Right. It's
I've not
bit
done it.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. It is. But, you know, thinking about doing
it. You performed in Paris, too? Ooh, I love Paris. You performed. I'm just reading your information here. I didn't know you performed in Paris.
Oh, yeah. I've been to Europe a few times. I performed in Paris. Yeah. I performed in Japan. I performed in Italy. I've performed in Vancouver, a bunch of places. I performed in, where was that at? Some part of Mexico that I was in. All I know is that wherever I was at, we had to, like, land in the daytime because they didn't have any lights on the landing strip. So you couldn't land at night. You had to do it in the daytime. That's a lovely place. And then I remember getting off the planes and there were, like, soldiers with rifles and automatic weapons. And I'm, like, going, where the hell have you all brought me?
Yeah, they're right. Singing for the cartel, ain't
you? I just went, my goodness, all right, it's going to be like that. But I was only there for a weekend, and we left, and I've never been back. And I can't say as I'm in a rush to go back again, because all I remember was the dude with the rifles on him.
With the rifles.
And me almost missing my plane to try to get out of there. No, I've been, music been very, very good to me. I've had the opportunity to go a lot of places, and I'm kind of that's what I'm putting my energies into now, to get back on the road again and play around Minneapolis when I feel like it.
Excuse me,
now you did your
CD
release party. Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I have one question. Yeah. I just wanted to know, like, out of all the countries that you've been to other than America, which one did you feel was the most receptive to jazz?
All of them.
Oh, okay.
Seriously, Paris was, maybe Paris, no, Italy was great too. Paris was phenomenal. I would say those were my favorite two in as far as reception for what I was doing. I would say those, but it's a whole nother. I mean, they have so much respect for the musicians on stage. I was at a nightclub, and I'm not talking a swanky nightclub. It was a very nice club, but literally when the music stopped, all attention went to the stage. There wouldn't be no talking. There wouldn't be. I'm telling you, you could easily get spoiled. I asked myself when I was getting ready to leave Paris, now I'm going back to the States. Why? So, you know, it's seriously, it's a whole nother. In the same thing when I was in Italy, just every place we played there, it was phenomenal. The audiences were just, the musicians, when I was in Paris, I actually played with all the musicians that were there, were all from Paris. So that was really kind of fun, which if you never thought music was universal, you for sure knew it was them, because that's pretty much strictly how we communicated. They spoke a minimal amount of English, and the only thing I could do with French was say bonjour.
That's how I was with bonjour, merci,
bonjour, and
merci.
Au revoir.
Right.
And oui, oui.
Au
revoir. Wasn't that doing the language well, but it did make a difference. When we got to talking about music, we were all on the same page, so it was really cool. I think Paris would be my top, Italy would be my second, Japan might be my third, I enjoy Vancouver. Vancouver is somewhere maybe a little bit after Italy.
Right.
Yeah. But the
yeah, for some reason I had a feeling that you were going to say Paris. Yeah. For some reason.
I loved Paris. I absolutely loved Paris. That was so cool. I worked in a place called the Latitudes Hotel, and they had a nightclub in there called Nostalgia. And the interesting thing is the area that I was in the Saint-Germain area. There were probably, in the radius that I was in, there were like one, two, three, four clubs, four different clubs. And walking in any of them, once the music started, it was like concert. Totally. Just, you can't beat it. I got spoiled. I'm trying to tell you that I was literally going, I am going back to the States. Why? I don't know. But I would go back, will be going back, don't know when, but I would go back in a minute. I don't know if I necessarily want to live there, but I definitely love performing there. My family's here. I think that was the other reason that I decided that I probably need to come home, because that would be the only time I would really get to hang out with my family. You know, because it's, you know, sometimes hard enough seeing my family with us, you know, being kind of spread out in the States anyway. So it would be really ridiculous with me being in Paris. And I would miss them. So that was another reason I came back. Yeah. Go to Europe, everybody. It's good for you.
Yes, it is. It's a whole different vibe. That's really to be
I'm
received the way they receive it. It's phenomenal, you know.
It is. You just have to remind yourself that, you know.
Yeah.
Because they treat you very, 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 very nicely. It's
yes,
cool.
They do.
Yeah, but they have much, much respect for their artists and their musicians. They do, which is. They're always in your corner. They will always be in your corner in Europe, and at least in those parts of Europe. They take care of their artists and their musicians. They do.
Why do you think that's so? Why do you think that that's the? Because I've heard that several times that you can leave the United States and go any place else in the world. And good musicians are treated very, very well. Even back in the Jim Crow days, musicians.
Oh, especially then.
Why? Why?
They love our music and they love the arts, and that's what they're into. They do not let any of the other, any of the other crap infiltrate into that. They just, they're realistic about the fact that. Jazz is from Black folks. We created it. It is our. It's universal. But that's the substance behind that is from us. And they don't have a problem accepting that. They don't have a problem because it's art. And one should be able to, you know, differentiate between arts and all the other crap that goes on in the world. One is there to make you feel good. Take you to another place, get you outside of your mind and the worries of every day and blah. If we would not exist, and I think people in Europe know that, we don't exist without the arts. And it's too bad that people in the States aren't aware of that. We don't exist without the arts.
It's biblical. It's biblical. That's why Psalms was created.
Oh, absolutely.
By David.
It is.
It's biblical.
It totally
it
is.
It transcends
healing.
Everything. It does
absolutely.
More than any of that. Matter of fact, it brings people together. I mean, even our pale-faced brothers and sisters ain't got no rhythm, they still be just jumping around. Jumping.
Yeah, absolutely.
Every other beat. That is. Oh,
right.
Yeah, you think they on step right then? That, oh, they might be on beat. And they just jump back one time and like, oh, okay. There they go. But it, I'm sorry. But,
it's like a universal
language. Can we do it
language.
Now? Can we,
it's
can we do it?
It's a universal spiritual. It's a spiritual thing.
Oh, it absolutely
yeah.
is. No question about that.
And
no question about that.
Everybody.
I mean,
just
read your Bible. It's all up in the Bible about make a joyful noise. Make a joy. It's all about music. It comes from a spiritual place. It's healing. they know that it's healing. Thank God they don't know how to control it, because they probably mess with it. That they think that they control, they control. One of the reasons that our music, which is truly ours from the United States, which is jazz, which is blues, which is when we really start getting into the gospel, that's ours. The reason that everything else there after that is European-based, but that's ours.
Right.
You know, and it's too bad that we can't let go that, well, I'm trying to keep this nice, that folks can't let go of who it came from versus
the
it
outside
just coming.
Aesthetic.
Yeah.
As opposed to the pure art form, you know, and the original art form, because our rhythms, all of that jazz, is just, well, it's all about improvisation, but it's about taking what you would normally think would go one way and just improvising on it and taking it somewhere completely different. The chord structures, the rhythms, I mean, you know, it's an amazing art form when you look at it.
Oh, it is. It's no question about that. And people around the world have no problems dealing with it. We're the only ones that have problems dealing with it. And it has nothing to do with the art form itself, which is really sad. You know. But, you know, I'm going to do what I'm doing because it makes me feel good. And I know I make other people feel good. And that I feel very blessed to be able to do that. I feel blessed to make somebody, when they leave or when they come and hear some music, that they can forget about the crap that went on in their day and whatever they're being bothered with.
Yeah.
But, and they can just relax when they allow themselves and just let the music take over and get rid of all that stuff. You know. Which is, again, another one of the purposes of music. So it has many purposes, but it is completely universal. And if you didn't think it, just go someplace and play with folks. Y'all might not be able to say poop dilly crap, and as far as the language, the speaking language is concerned, but once the music starts, man, we are all on the same page.
Wow.
And I love it.
Yay!
Okay.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. That's wonderful.
Okay, I'm sorry. I got to jump in. I just got to jump in. Excuse me. One second. I'm sorry. I got to do this. I can't get a read. Ms. Duncan, what's your sign?
Leo.
Gemini. Leo.
Leo.
I do know Leos are taking over the world.
I'm starting to see that. Really? I mean, it's like, I don't know. Geminis or Leos. I'm just like, what is that?
Yeah, and if you look at listen to me, if you look at the zodiac sign, if you look into actors, if you study actors' zodiac signs, most of the actors that you're going to see are going to be Geminis and Leos. A lot of.
Yep. Definitely fire signs.
And
it's true.
Yep. Yep.
I mean, you got them in all different signs, but Leos and Geminis pretty much are the dominant signs in actors. And some of the most phenomenal actors are, you know, like between Geminis and Leos.
Thus gives us the understanding who President Trump is, a Gemini. There you go.
Oh,
actor,
he's
moving up.
His twins have got a nut.
So we're going to get off the subject and start cussing, and let's just keep it clean and keep it jazz instead of going in the mud.
He had twins battling each other there. That's another story.
We're going to take a break from Sister Tara. We'll be right back. This is the WMRDB meeting in the ladies' room. We'll be back shortly.
AdoptUS Kids presents Multiple Choice Parenting.
Your daughter just had her first breakup. Do you A, put yourself in her shoes?
How could he do this to you? And for Sheila, she has split ends.
B, console her.
Oh, sweetie, this is going to happen a lot. 4, maybe 5 more times before you get married.
C, take charge.
Got to get this all straightened out. Keep a little talking to man, mano a mano. Hey, Steve. It's now a good time? No? Okay, no problem. Bye.
Or D, help her find a new boyfriend.
I know a great place to meet boys. The internet. Nice, single boys. Never mind. How about some ice cream?
As a parent, there are no perfect answers. But you don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same.
For more information on how you can adopt, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUS Kids, and the Ad Council.
AdoptUS Kids presents Multiple Choice Parenting.
Your daughter just had her first breakup. Do you A, put yourself in her shoes?
How could he do this to you? And for Sheila, she has split ends.
B, consider.
You're listening to WAMRDB, Atlanta Mix Radio, the woman's station, the new look and feel of radio. We are now syndicated. You can find us on Blog Talk, Mixcloud, SoundCloud, the TuneIn app, YouTube, Spreaker, and Facebook Live. We'll be discussing a wide array of topics such as domestic violence, Me Too, sex trafficking, and health. Check us out on the World Wide Web at www.AtlantaMixRadio.com. Atlanta Mix Radio, the woman station, the new look and feel of radio.
Women around the world use sanitary napkins and tampons every day, knowing little to nothing about the harmful and potentially dangerous materials used to manufacture them. Because of this, millions of women are forced to suffer in silence. In the United States, the Food and Drug Administration does not require companies to list the ingredients contained in sanitary napkins and tampons. Yet the average woman uses more than 15,000 sanitary napkins or uses tampons for more than 100,000 hours over her lifetime.
You really don't know what's in it. I mean, I don't think any of us really know, especially, you know, some of the new pads that maybe have a spongy type texture that's supposed to hold more. Well, what exactly is that? What's that made out of? We don't know. So then there's questions of how does that affect our health? You know, with things coming out that, you know, baby powder and talc are dangerous and cause ovarian cancer, what other things are we exposing our very sensitive areas to that could end up being a problem later on?
Internationally, it's even worse. A recent report from UNICEF and the World Health Organization cites that at least 500 million girls and women globally lack adequate facilities for managing their periods. In most schools, girls have to trek to the nurse's office to ask for a pad or tampon, as if menstruating is an illness rather than a natural function. In some parts of the world, girls simply drop out of school once they start menstruating. The manufacturing process of these menstrual aids has been known to cause serious damage to the environment. The toxic byproducts of producing tampons include poisons like dioxin and furan. In fact, conventional sanitary pads can contain the equivalent of about 4 plastic bags. Synthetics and plastic restrict airflow and trap heat and dampness, potentially promoting yeast and bacteria growth in a woman's vaginal area. Conventional sanitary pads can also contain other potentially hazardous ingredients, such as odor neutralizers and fragrances. How do tampons and pads get that ultra-white, clean look? usually chlorine bleach, which can also create toxic dioxin and other disinfection byproducts. According to an EPA draft report, dioxin is a serious public health threat that has no safe level of exposure. To make matters worse, tampons create a favorable environment for bacterial growth.
Certainly, there's a lot of plastic involved with pads and the issues with tampons and the history. You have to be careful with toxic shock syndrome and stuff just because of what it's made out of is kind of a nidus of bacteria that's not so good for patients.
Micro tears in the vaginal wall from tampons allow bacteria to accumulate when left too long. One infamous risk is toxic shock syndrome, or TSS, caused by poisonous toxins from bacteria. TSS is a life-threatening condition that affects women under 30 most. While any woman using tampons can get TSS, over 60% of TSS fatalities happen in women ages 15 to 24. For too long, these facts have been conveniently swept under the rug while hundreds of millions of women suffer with no alternatives. Until now.
In the background, we have the sounds. That's Miss Debbie Duncan you're listening to with Black Is. Debbie,
hey.
How you doing out there? Girl, that was phenomenal, beautiful. Where did you record that at, and when did you do that recording?
I recorded in Minneapolis. I think it was the third CD that I did. And I'm not sure when. I don't remember. It was just the third one I did. That's all I know right now. Yeah. And my little thing that Lena Horne actually recorded that song. It was written by a friend of mine. And Lena Horne recorded it. We both recorded it, I think, pretty much around the same year. I might have actually gotten mine out a little bit before her.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. I love Lena Horne, too.
Me too.
Kind of reminds me of like a Sarah Vaughan meets Duke Ellington type of feel. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But it was written by a local writer here. She writes good stuff.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I don't know if she's still here anymore, but she's in Wisconsin now, but she was living here when I did that. I've probably recorded about 3 or 4 of her songs because I really like her work. So,
yeah. What's the name?
Marissa Dodge.
Okay. Oh, thank you, Marissa Dodge. Yes, indeed. That's a beautiful song.
Yeah.
Debbie, let everyone know about your new CD, which you had a sold-out show. Unfortunately, like I mentioned, I feel so bad because I was sick the first day, and that Saturday I had the Untouchables show for the homeless, and I seen the video. You had the club packed to capacity.
Yeah,
you
we had both nights. It was good. It was good. It was good.
Yeah.
I was really
now,
happy about that.
Now, that's from the new CD?
Yeah, the one I just released on March 30th and 31st. Yep,
now
it's called,
tell our listeners how they can go about getting it, the name of the CD, and that information.
Okay, the name of the CD is Full Circle, Debbie Duncan Live at the Dakota. And I did that because I was the first person to ever record at the Dakota, to ever record a live CD there. And so I hadn't recorded anything since I think about 2006 was the last time that I did something, and I said I need to do something, and then I got the idea about the Full Circle thing at the Dakota and ran it by Lowell to see what he thought, and he thought it was a good idea, and then the heat was on.
That's right.
Then
yes,
we proceeded
indeed
to do it. So yeah, and right now the only place you can get it, if you're in the Twin Cities, you can get it at Electric Fetus. It'll be probably in the next week or so. You'll be able to get it on CD Baby.
Okay.
Yeah.
In the next week or so, so make sure you post it. And you have a website.
Mm-hmm.
Let the listeners know your website, your Facebook page, that information, because I know callers are going to be like, where can we get this phenomenal vocalist material at? So let them know.
What is it I'm going for here? My website is actually in the process of being changed, but you can get to the one that's up right now, and that's debbieduncan.net. And then my, is it Facebook? Yes. It's Debbie Duncan Jazz. And I always have announcements of whatever I'm doing and wherever I'm going to be is always on Facebook. So just go to Debbie Duncan Jazz and you can get that. And that's it for the moment. That's it. But if you're in the Twin Cities, Electric Fetus, go. Run over there to them. They'd be so happy to sell it to you, and then they'll be calling me for more.
I love Electric Fetus. You know, one thing about that, they do support the artists here.
Yes,
they really do. I love Electric Fetus. I have to give it to them. Even when I have my shows, I can always go over there and you know, they work with you. They really do. So shout
they
out
really
to
do.
Them
they
in Minneapolis.
What you say about that?
What you say, Debbie? I had to give a shout out to Electric Fetus on that one.
I know that's right. They are. I mean, they back their local musicians. That plus, any of the concerts that are going on around her, be them national concerts or local concerts, they're just like really behind the artists here, and it's really cool. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and
what
you can get
they?
Anything
what
over
what
there.
What kind of business is it?
They sell CDs. They also have, you know, it's kind of like what did they used to call those places? It's kind of like it has boutique-ish type stuff in it. You know, it has jewelry, it has candles, it has clothing
hookahs,
that different writers
hookahs,
around there
they
do.
Got hookahs and
yeah, they got hats.
Stuff.
They have some of everything, and then they have probably one of the largest CD and album collection of just about anything you can think of.
Yeah, they sell vinyls. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yep, you can get albums there.
They sell
lovely
real records.
Yep.
The
yeah, real albums.
Slap at Mario, right?
Say it again.
Throw one at Mario albums. That kind of them kind of real records. Them little discs you could just spell in the air. Get out!
Mario, she messed with you.
Oh, really? I don't know. I have anything on vinyl. I got stuff on CD. Yeah, but she talking about albums. You know, she talking about throwing them at somebody. Yeah, you got to have an album to throw at somebody.
Yeah,
right.
No, I'm not gonna throw. I still have albums.
Right.
And
I have.
Album,
I do too.
Album.
I do too. And I have a turntable to play them on. And yes, it's we'll have one. Good stuff. Good stuff that I can't find on CDs or any place anywhere else. So, you know, they're collector's items. So you can daggone Skippy, I got them.
So I got a question.
That's
okay,
right.
So we have three artists on right now. Both of you are. Before you came on, Mr. Coleman, Ms. Duncan mentioned about going into that space that you go into and it just kind of transcends a place that, you know, that you all just gravitate to. That's when you be performing with your shades on. She was like, yeah, and that's it.
In the zone.
And once you get
the
to
zone.
And you know, the Monica, I guess all three of y'all got that thing going on that y'all just know where you're in that tunnel. And by the time you come back to it, it's over and you're exhausted in that sense. So, I just have to say, I'm just going to put it out there that now I understand. Even though I didn't really, really, really believe you, but now that I do because somebody else said it, that's like 2,000 miles from you or more, I believe you now.
Well, you have to understand, man, certain levels of creativity are connected. You know what I mean? True creativity is connected and moved from individual to individual. You know what I mean? That's where we, like she was saying, at that level, it's really not about black or white or anything. It's about the art. It's about the energy created when these individuals come together and share their craft and then project it out into the crowd. You know what I mean? It's unearthly. To me, being able to create and perform at that level, man, is like kind of like getting even closer to God. You know what I mean?
Oh,
because
I absolutely
so
agree with you.
It's so pure.
I absolutely agree with you. I'll tell somebody in a minute if you ever. And I said it before, if you ever go there and you've ever gotten to that place, you will try to get there every time you get on stage.
You sure do. Yes,
man.
Indeed.
Mm-hmm.
You'll never want to come down from. Yeah.
Nope.
Yeah.
It's the truth. It sure is. Mm-hmm. That's why I said, back and go, I'll see you in a minute.
Yeah. And for me, you know, as a composer, being able to create it, you know, like when... from conception, like you just sitting in the room and then you hear the music and then being able to compose and put everything together all the way to the point to where you're actually performing it on stage and then you're getting feedback from it. You know, it just takes you back to that first note that you hit to compose it, and then you know what I mean, to like the manifestation mm-hmm. of it when you're actually performing it. That's another amazing journey right there.
I absolutely mm-hmm. agree with you. I give all props to writers and people that have ideas and wonderfulness going on in their head, and they manage to bring it into fruition so that, you know, it's actually out there. Now it's not just inside of you. It's out there for everybody to have the opportunity to experience. And to be able to do that, I think, is a phenomenal thing. That ain't my strong point. Not the writing. I think I am in my lifetime. Well, I've probably written more than that, but I have written mm-hmm. one tune that I actually recorded.
Well,
which
from a composition point of view, even collaborating with an individual, you know,
oh,
I mean,
absolutely.
Like say for instance, mm-hmm. so I meet you and just, you know, I have this idea. And we come
and
together,
bring it to
life. Mm-hmm. And that energy, yeah, and then to hear you on stage singing it, while we might be sitting in the audience, that's enough. I mean, you know what I mean? It's still on that same level, that same plateau.
Yeah, absolutely.
Of incredible energy, man. You know, actually, to me, sometimes seeing it perform something is even, I ain't gonna say it's greater, but you know, just what another individual. Interpretation of your creation,
yeah.
and what they bring to it, past what you even conceive, is like amazing. You know what I mean?
Yep, I hear you.
I could go
on and on
about that. So I just because I live.
No,
right,
it's a good
here.
Thing
You're
to
right.
talk about. I mean, I think
yeah.
that, you know, because so many people listen to what you do. I think that they need to sometimes experience, if they can, you telling them what it is indeed like to do that.
The process.
In order to,
yeah
you know.
Yeah.
And
well,
to
mean,
know that
know
it touches
it
somebody else.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, it's the same thing of, like, nobody, like, they experience you on stage, but they don't know how many hours it took to rehearse to
oh,
get
exactly.
to that level. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Where you could be
I
on
know
stage
exactly what you mean. Mm-hmm. You didn't just come out doing that. It's like,
yeah.
what you hear on the stage
yeah,
took some work. It didn't just like, bam,
right,
come
right,
out
right.
that way, you know.
Right.
So I that's what, something that I think is very interesting that people think about performers. They just, you know, sort of see the finished product or what's happening on stage and I don't think the concept of what one had to do to get to that place enters inside of them, because they are only on the side of experiencing what's coming out. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Absolutely.
So that's the perspective that they're getting it from. And I think it's really good for anybody that's listening for them to know that there is indeed a process that one goes through in order to put that out there for you to receive it.
Mm-hmm.
Not what I'm saying.
Yeah. That's right.
Don't
it
you
is.
Know.
You're right.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Because, like I said,
you
we
know,
get a
what?
Chance to experience
mm-hmm.
on so many different levels. So, yeah, even.
Because
I do sound as well. So, even being on the board and knowing, you know, the importance of what I do to enhance what the performer is doing. You know, there's
mm-hmm.
something as small as making sure they don't feedback. They can hear themselves in the monitor so they can, you know what I mean, elevate their game or their performance to a whole nother level. You know what
exactly.
I mean?
Exactly. Getting the right frequency.
So many different, you know, from so many different directions or whatever.
See, mm-hmm. I love me a good sound man that knows what they're listening
yes,
to
we
and,
do.
And,
we
and,
sure
and to
do.
Also help create that sound too, because, you know, some sound men, I'm like going, really? If I sound like that, I might need to contemplate doing something else. So, yeah, I know.
Yeah, we don't understand that we're part of the performance, you know what I mean? Subliminally, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
We're definitely from that perspective. Our job is very important, but it's more or less
it's
to
majorly
fall back and
important.
Allow you to, yeah.
It's majorly important. It is that, and I personally think that a good sound man or a person that does that knows that, because they're also helping to create the sound that people are hearing.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
You know, and you got to know it if you're going to do it. You got to know it if you're going to do it, because a sound man can make or break you.
Yes, they can. You got that right. You know,
I know.
Going through for Armella, you know. Crazy.
Yeah.
I'm sure he was burnt out, so I'm not trying to say nothing negative because he probably might be listening then, but I know he was tired. I mean, he really literally, I had him for the closing. As you know, I had him there as early as 10 o'clock in the morning to go until 2 a.m. All the last three nights. Well, he even did four of the nights out of the five nights that I did. So he was exhausted. I know. But,
yeah, he was.
It is frustrating. It is frustrating, though.
Yes, it
and
can be.
Like
but you know what?
Reverb on your voice, or they have you sounding like you're in a doggone barrel, or
Yeah, those are the ones that don't understand. That don't understand the performance. You know what I mean? Because I deal with different individuals, and you know, you have to understand reverb and delay are just little, small, delicate enhancements, you know what I mean? They go, and you have to understand when it needs to
and
be
there.
And
don't always need to be there.
It doesn't.
Certainly not
no,
to that level.
It doesn't.
You know.
Yeah.
It doesn't.
I think that when you're...
You need to hear the lyrics instead of hear the reverb of the lyrics.
Yeah. You shouldn't sound like you're in a tunnel.
Right.
Seriously.
I think that's the advantage we have, though, Mario, too, because you are a performer as well. So you know, being a performer, what we got to hear and what, you know.
Absolutely.
You just bring
absolutely.
It to life, you know. So, yeah, that
and
makes
then,
a difference.
And then and the monitor mix as well. I know I'm getting kind of technical, but just understanding what the
look,
artist hears
to
her
we
monitor.
We definitely know that.
Yeah.
But
that's
we could tell
so
the audience what that
imperative.
Is.
Yeah.
Well, you know, the monitor is what we're hearing on stage and what's coming back at us. So that we can continue to create on stage. And if it sucks,
absolutely.
I mean, you
it's
have
it's
to like talk to yourself. I'm like going, Lord
Ignore.
Jesus, I know I don't sound like that. I'm going to keep on singing.
Right. Because there's two different mixes going on, and that's what a person don't understand. Because as me as a sound man, I can go on stage, and it's like, okay, here's a monitor mix, and the house mix is totally different. It's just it's like two different universes happening simultaneously.
Yeah,
you know
and it
I mean?
Don't need
really
to be that different. They don't need to be that drastically different. Because if that's going to happen, then let me, you know, go out in the audience and sing.
Right.
You
know, we have some listeners on the line, you guys. And I wanted to see if anyone has any questions to ask Ms. Duncan, our listeners that's on the line. Here's your time if you need to ask questions. If not, you can just listen to the show and enjoy the show.
What? No questions? He must be doing really well.
Yeah.
This is what I would say whenever I do lectures or I do a master class or something like that.
Yeah. Devin,
and I go.
No, because we're about to wrap it up in just a few. We only have like a few, 10 more minutes, I believe. 10 or 15 more minutes, but I noticed that you do a lot in the community. Let the audience know what you do in the community right now.
Nothing. No, I'm just kidding.
Yes, you do. You work.
Oh, I'm a sick woman. Every summer, I'm a part of a program called We Care Performing Arts, which is I don't know how many people know Miss Lorraine Smaller and Mr. Floyd Smaller. They've been just pillars in the community and as far as doing things for our kids, you know. And so every summer we have a summer program, and in that summer program it's kind of a twofold thing. We work with kids that have been having certain issues in certain classes. We have instructors there to work with tutoring them on there. And as well as that, we'll have choir. I work with different singers. We'll have keyboard lessons, we have dance lessons, we have dance instructors, and it's just sort of a fun thing and a learning experience that we do every summer at Farwell Park, not Farwell, Farwell Park, F-A-R. And we do it every summer from June, wait, am I lying? Wait, June to about the 5th of August. And it's 4 days a week. And then we have, as well as doing that, we go on different trips. We try and every summer we have a theme. Like our theme this summer is going to be blues, because we figure our children need to know about our heritage. And so we do that. That's every summer. And it's really kind of cool, and I think it's very helpful to the kids, because as well as having fun, they learn something. And at the end of the summer program, we do a concert or a program that shows the parents in the neighborhood some of the stuff that we've been doing all summer long. And, you know, the choir sings, and we have individual solos, and we have, if somebody's been playing keyboards, they'll do that. We have percussion that they work on. So it's really kind of a very cool thing that they do. Plus, you know, they get to review what they don't get to view all summer. So when they go back to school, they're not like, ah, what'd you do summer? I didn't do nothing. So, you know, they have something to take back with them. And it's a cool program right. called We Care Performing Arts.
What is it called again?
So I do that every summer, huh?
We Care Performing Arts?
Yep, We Care Performing Arts. It's at Farwell Park every summer, and the age limit is, the youngest that we do is 4, I believe. We'd rather have them 5, but we will take them at 4 to 15.
Okay, that's
a pretty
great.
Wide gap. Yeah.
Yeah, and that's in Minneapolis, is that correct?
Yep, Minneapolis.
Okay. Well, we're about to wrap things up, and I just want to give a shout-out once again. Thanks, Mario, for coming in on the show. That's Mario Pullman. And Karima.
Oh, no. Thanks, Mario.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
Oh, Mario, yeah, that was just wonderful. And so our one and only guest, let's give it up for Miss Debbie Duncan. Woo!
Yay.
We got some sound effects going on. Hey, woo, 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 woo. We're about to close and pull the show to our listeners. Once again, you can listen to Miss Debbie Duncan get her material in a few weeks on CD Baby. But for the listeners that's here in the Twin Cities, or if you come up to the Twin Cities, Minneapolis, St. Paul, you can go to Electric Fetus and purchase her CD, which is a live recording from the Dakota, which is full of circle, is the name of the CD. Am I correct?
That's right. Go, girl, go.
And they can look you up under
They can look me up. You can, if you want to know where I'm going to be performing at, you can just go to Debbie Duncan Jazz on Facebook, and always has my performances. As a matter of fact, if anybody knows Gwen Matthews and Bruce Henry, we're doing a show at the Chanhassen Theater May 4th and 5th. And
oh,
it's called The Look of Love, the music of Burt Bacharach. It's going to be fun.
The Look of Love. On what date again?
May 4th and 5th.
Okay. Thank
Friday,
you so
Saturday.
Much, Ms. Duncan. That's the Chanhassen Theater. That's Ms. Debbie Duncan. We're about to close the show with a meeting in the ladies' room, and we want to thank our listeners for listening in. Great things are done by a series of small things brought together. I'm Vincent Van Gogh. You guys have a good evening. Thank you for tuning in to WAMRDB, Meeting in the Ladies' Room. We'll be back next Tuesday, 9 p.m. Central Standard Time, 10 p.m. Eastern Time. Thank you so much and have a wonderful night.
Yay.
Yay. Thank you.
Thank you for having me.
Welcome to Loving Care Family Chiropractic, a state-of-the-art chiropractic family facility for the entire family, owned and welcome to Loving Care Family Chiropractic, a state-of-the-art chiropractic family facility for the entire family, owned and operated by Dr. Ebony Hornbuckle Preston. Allow her to love your spine so you can get back to enjoying your life. Through the touch of her hands, your pain will flee, giving you the freedom to enjoy your best life. Her concern is not just your spinal health, but your total health. She will show you natural and holistic remedies that can alleviate many injuries and various types of pain. Work with her and you'll feel stronger and healthier after every visit as you begin to enjoy the new you. Make your appointment today. They're located at 5336 East Mountain Street, Stone Mountain, Georgia, 30083, or call at 678-884-3778. We're also available on the web at www.lovingcarechiropractic.com. We are Loving Care Family Chiropractic. Let us love your spine.
Forest. Can you see this? And this? And only in the forest can you see this. And this. And this. But nothing beats the moment you see that.
Cool!
That's your child's eyes opening up to a world of possibilities.
I didn't know it could do that!
Because one trip to the forest can spark a world of difference.
There are some moments only the forest can inspire. Find yours at discovertheforest.org. Learn about forests near you and discover cool things to do when you go, like hiking, canoeing, fishing, or camping. Or create your own adventure with family and friends, and you might just see this. Your moment's out there. Find it at discovertheforest.org. That's discovertheforest.org.
Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Radio, the woman station, the new look and feel.